my sisters in Christ Jesus, in that name that is above every other name. I greet you in I greet you in what my buddy Zeph would call fisherman's hours. You know, it's golly, sometimes some of the times that God has us do the things that he has us do, it really is on his call, because last couple nights, you know, managed to go to bed early, but today, you know, so I think it's like 3 a.m. and but you know, God's been stirring me, and you know, the thing is, when God speaks, something that I learned as time has gone on is that you just need to respond, because when we respond, it activates and it keeps us in step with the next thing that God is doing in that moment. And so often, you know, we don't see the transitions, we don't see how different pieces will work together, but in time to come, it gets known. But the key is just right now to do what God has for you to do, right now to walk in righteousness, right now to walk in truth, right now to do that which God has for you to do, even if it may seem small or it may seem inconsequential. When you do what God has for you to do in that moment, it leads to and unlocks the next thing. The success is in the obedience. You know, we've talked about that a long time ago, and we've said that several times throughout the years on these podcasts that have gone out. Has been success is in the obedience. You know, for a follower of Christ, we don't focus on the results as much, because the results are really in God's hands. What we focus on is just being in step with him. We want to do only what we see the Father doing. We want to be in step with him, with what he's doing in such a time as this, right now, in this moment. Because when you're in step with him in the moment, you're able to transition through and be in his purposes. You know, when Jesus and his brothers were, you know, his earthly family was talking, and, you know, they were like, all right, Jesus, you know, anybody that wants to be a public figure, they need to go make themselves known. So they were just telling them to go up to the feast and do all these things that you do. And Jesus said, you know, look, anytime's fine for you guys, but I got to be about my Father's perfect timing. And everything that Jesus did in his time in the earth was in perfect step with the Father, perfect step with God's timing. Eternity in time, you know, which in a lot of ways is a contradiction to our existence, because in our existence we live in time and yet we're eternal beings. And Jesus came and gave us the living example of what it is to be an eternal being in a time-bound reality. And he transcended time and space even during his existence here in the earth. You know, there were times where Jesus transitioned out from being in the natural realm to, you know, all of a sudden, look, he wasn't there anymore. And, you know, he did that before and after the crucifixion. He walked from among them. He all of a sudden wasn't in their presence. He, you know, there's different things about, you know, him existing as an eternal being and yet in a time reality. And even as we transition as followers of truth, as followers of light, as those that walk with him, we will transition into those states of existence as we continue to go from glory to glory, from strength to strength, and as we reject the lie and adhere to the truth. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine recently about you know, cognitive dissonance. and we were talking even specifically about some things with religion. And because you know there are people that they do have a heart for truth, and God is drawing them just even as He drew us at one time, and they're responding. And but you know, one of the things about cognitive dissonance is it causes a split. Basically, what cognitive dissonance is, and you can look this up in your free time, because I'm just going to give you a paraphrase. But it's like if you were to believe and know one thing, but then in yourself you would go do something else. So, for example, you believe that it is inherently wrong to lie and to deceive somebody else, but then if you then in your job, or say you go work at a place, and in your job they require you to lie on the job, and in fact they tell you, look, if you don't lie, if you don't adhere to this lie that we tell in this job, then you're not going to get your salary, you're not going to get promoted, you're not going to advance in your career. And so what happens is internally you have cognitive dissonance. You have something that you know and you believe and you understand is supposed to be one way, and yet what you end up doing is a contradiction to that. And what that does inside of a person is, over a window of time, you can't continue to exist in that state and remain sane. So what will happen is a person will get split over time and internally. And either what will happen is they will either change what they believe, which is, that's where they start saying, well, you know, it's okay to lie in these circumstances, it's okay to, you know, it's just got to put food on the table, you know, what do people expect me to do, everybody does it, you see what I'm saying? So they either change what they believe, so they have to bring their mind over to that lie or that side, or they change what they do, which is repentance. And which is, you know, essentially, which is lining themselves up with that which they know to be true. And that's the case where people, you know, will leave their jobs, or will, you know, or will stay true to their convictions. But they do what they do is necessary to to remain whole within themselves as a person. But here's the thing, is that, see, God is truth. He is truth. There is no shadow of turning in Him. And so for a person, Jesus' prayer in John 17 is that they may be one in the Father, even as He is in the Father and the Father is in Him. In fact, let's just go to that really quick. John chapter 17. And said, verse 16 says, actually, let's jump up a little bit. Verse 13 says, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Okay, so Jesus' prayer for the disciples is that they may be one in us. And so what happens is the Father calls, and we choose ye this day whom you will serve. We choose to respond or to not. We choose to reject or to not. We choose to respond to the call and to align ourselves with that which is in Him or to not. We choose to remain split or to be made whole. To remain split is to persist in cognitive dissonance and to ultimately change what you believe to align to, but in that changing of your belief and to go the way of the world is to be separate from God. To choose of your free will to be separate from God and to align yourself with the world and the world system. Now, here's where this gets interesting also, is that when it comes down to faith, and when it comes down to people's spirituality, what happens too is that they don't want to they don't want to admit that, you know, they're stepping away from God. So what they will do is they will create God in their own image and in their own likeness, and they create another Jesus. Or another spiritual whatever necessary. Take your pick of, you know, the religions in the world, and but they create God in their image and in their likeness. So rather than aligning themselves with that which is true, rather than a pursuit of truth, rather than a pursuit of that which is real, they will run after, and they will chase, and they will prop up that which is ultimately a reflection of that which they desire to be themselves. And that which reaffirms the split that they've already had within. See, that's why so often in the world that they need other people to validate them. See, when you're split, You need other people to come around you and to tell you that you're okay, because internally you know that you're not. See, that's why there's such a need to get together week to week in every one of these systems, you know, and in every religion in the world, is because internally within they know that something's not right. So they have to get together. They need to have other people around them that tell them that they're okay, and they need to tell them that they're okay as well. And they got to have somebody up there that they validated, that they pay to stand up there to tell them, yes, you indeed, you are okay, when in fact you're not. And the reason you know you're not is because within there's no peace. Whereas when somebody has been made whole and made one in Christ and been even as the fulfillment of the prayer in John 17, when that has taken place in your own life, you don't need the validation of man. You don't need the approval of man. You can be, even as John the Baptist and Elijah were, you can be out there in the desert on your own, because you're one in the Father. And there are times in our walks where God does do that with us, and He will allow us to be isolated and to feel very much alone, just for the sake, in part, so that we will also know for ourselves that we've been made one in Him, and that He indeed is enough. See, Christ is the gate. Christ is the doorway. He is the way out of the prison that we were born into in this world. And it's not a religion. He's not a religion. He's a way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. In fact, since we're in John, let's just turn back and read that one. In John chapter 14 and verse number 6, Jesus said unto him, verse number 5 says, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. So, because why? Because Jesus is one with the Father, and the Father is one with Christ. And as we go through that gate, through that doorway, and as we're consummated with the way, the truth, and the life, and there's a knowing that takes place, there's a oneness that takes place, then there's no separation. And to be made one in the Father is to be restored and to be brought back to our eternal self. And to step out of the illusion of time and space, to step out of the illusion of what this world propagates and puts on people. You know, I remember back in the day where I used to wrestle, and I had a great wrestling coach. You know, when I used to do that, he was a former Olympian, and I was a tiny guy back then, and he was not too much bigger than me, so I ended up working with him a lot. You know, when I'd have practices, and I remember. You know, one of the things that he would tell me, though, too, is he said, Govinda, he said, where the head goes, the body will follow. And he would speak to me in the terms of wrestling and in a natural context. But if you could control your opponent's head, you could control your opponent's entire body. And, I mean, if you could direct his head down to the ground, the whole body would follow him. And likewise, too, that's why the world works so hard on the mind. Where the head goes, the body follows. Where the mind goes, the rest of the person's being will go. That's why also, you know, there's so many admonitions in the scriptures about guard your heart, for out of it comes the issues of life. You know, what Job did. And how he said, you know, I made a covenant with my eyes. It's either chapter 30 or 33, but you know, to not look on a woman, like as far as like, you know, he made a covenant with his eyes to keep certain things from being in front of his eyes. To keep that lingering glare, that lingering stare, from becoming part of his life and his reality. And, you know, in the world that we're in, we're bombarded with things all the time. But there's admonitions throughout, because there's something to be said for and something to be known for being mindful that there is a battle on for your mind and for your heart. Now, here's the thing, though. When you cross into, as an eternal being, you step out of that bound time reality into being that eternal being that God has made you to be. He is, I am. You know, when they questioned Jesus and they said, look, how are you able to say all these things? You know, you're not even 50 years old. You know, you're talking about Moses and all of this. And Jesus said, look, before Moses was, I am. And, you know, and in that, they wanted to kill him then. They had so many times they wanted to kill Jesus. And that was another time they wanted to kill him. but, again, no one took his life from him. He laid it down of his own accord, and he took it back up again. And we have been given that power as well as followers of Christ. No one takes our lives from us. we lay them down of our own accord, and we take them back up again, even as the Father leads and guides us. That's why you see it in the life of Peter, you see it in the life of Paul. These guys knew. They knew when the seasons of their time and their lives were coming to a conclusion, because God would lead and guide them, and they knew they were in step with the seasons of what God's timing was for them in the earth as they transitioned through their time here and through their existence in this life. But no one took Christ's life from him, you know, but Jesus admonished people, and he hinted to these things in his earthly ministry as well, and he let people know, you know, he is I am. And as we step into, as we are consummated with the truth, as we are made one with the way, with the life, we transition from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Acts 26, Paul talks about his own experience in that being activated in him. In him being in the scales being taken off of his own eyes. Let's flip there really quick. Acts 26. And we've touched on this one before, but I love this because verse 14, it says, and when we heard... verse 14 says, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So, God appeared unto Paul, who was earlier Saul, and took him through a transition. And then he said, I want you to make this transition known. And I'm going to use you as a messenger of truth for this purpose. And God used him to make known that revelation and to a bunch of people. Was Paul the only one that did that? No. God was using the apostles during that time. God was using the early church during that time. God was using many people during that time. Now Paul... God blessed him, you know, with particular skill sets, and you know, he was using that in a lot of ways. You know, like whatever it is, whatever your background is that you come from, when you lay everything of who you are down before the Father, God has a way of empowering and using that for His plan and His purpose. But the only one that lived out a life here without making any mistakes was Jesus. Every other person in the scriptures that has lived has you see the entire wrestling that they have with their humanity as well in their time in the earth. So, but we go from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. And that is a transition out from a time-bound reality, from the illusionary reality, from being stuck in the past or being worried about the future, to being in I am right now, ever present, always ready, always responsive to that which comes directly from the head, who is I am. And You know, now in the midst of that, you've got to realize that too, that as soon as you start to get out and to transition out, as soon as you begin to make that transition, everything in the world and the world system gets activated to try to bring you back. Because the value of a human soul is incredible. I mean, it took the blood of the Son of God to be sufficient to pay the price for the redemption of your soul. So if you think of the human soul in terms of a commodity, you know, what does it cost to you will pay for a commodity based on what is the value of or what its worth is. So when you realize that the value of the human soul, that the value that it was placed on it in an eternal sense, was it required the blood of the Son of God to redeem it unto the Father. So now, if the enemy can get you for cheap, he'll get you for cheap. If the enemy can get you for 90 bucks, he'll get you for 90 bucks. I mean, if he can buy you for cheap, and if you don't realize your own value and your own worth, then he's going to do that. But the second that a soul begins to get activated by the Father and begins to transition out of the illusionary reality and the time-bound deception of the world, that's when you see all hell break loose and everything in the world begin to get activated to try to ensnare that soul once again, to bring it back under bondage, to bring it back into the illusion, to get you to swap out relationship with God for religion, for example. Oh, that's a big one. And usually the way that that'll happen is just that whole network around gets activated. And you will be called all kinds of things. You will be called, either they'll try to distort your credibility or who you are, or bring things into question. You'll be called prideful. You will be attacked on multiple levels. And usually that's because the reason is when we begin to walk out with the Father, what happens is that we also, in a way, we become reflections and mirrors of truth, and people see them all. People start seeing themselves and who they are in us, and what's wrong in their own hearts and in their own lives. And so many times, what I've noticed when people write us or try to come after us for different things, it's because of what's their own hang-ups, their own issues, their own problems, their own struggles, their own things that are unresolved. Because again, back to the whole thing about cognitive dissonance, they're split. Instead of being made one with truth and being made one with the Father and surrendering themselves completely over to God, what they've done is they've given themselves over rather to a religion, rather to the desire to belong, rather to a form of godliness that denies the power thereof, that has been written about in scriptures time and again. And in doing so, they've been split. And in doing so, when they see you, they see a reflection of themselves. And when they see a reflection of themselves, that reflection for themselves, they when they see that, they lash out at you based on what's wrong within themselves. And, you know, it took me a while part of my own growth and my own development was to realize that was what was going on. Because, you know, also for me, you know, on a personal level, as I've continued to mature in my own walk, and God has continued to give me more and more understanding and knowledge and wisdom, even as I've asked of Him, and He has given it to me generously, without finding fault. I've begun to understand how many of these things that come up are not me, and how the place that they come from, and that these are things that are external, they're outside, they're the world trying to infiltrate, trying to bring you back under bondage, even as the Galatians church was, Paul wrote to them and said, "Who bewitched you? You guys started out right. And what happened? You know, that you started out right, and then you got sucked back into bondage, and they've been bringing you back into it." And he had to educate them. Oh, and speaking of which, I've had some back and forths with some. Do you know? It's amazing the people that God has us interact with, and there's quote unquote pastors of very, very large churches and institutions around the world, and they write us. And they write us because they know that we're in step with God. They write us because they know that there's truth here. They write us because, just like Nicodemus came to Jesus in John chapter 3 in the middle of the night and said, look, you know, we all know that God's with you, because no one can do the things that you do if God's not with him. So they know that God's with us. And that's the reason why they keep keeping tabs on us and keep following us and keep hanging around the peripheries. But also, again, they only come to us at night. You know, they only come to us in the back channels. They only come to us when no one else can see. Because if they came openly, it would confirm the doubts that other people already have. See, they've got to maintain a image of, you know, having all the answers. Because if they ever break that rank, people realize the emperor doesn't have any clothes. But anyways, you know, they are where they are in their walk. And just even as Jesus said to Nicodemus, look, you're supposed to be the teachers of Israel, and you don't even understand these basic things. It's kind of funny to me that, it's just funny to me because, hey, I'm a young guy, and this is not my career. This is just something God has me do. So you would think that the people that have made this their life pursuits would know these things by now. But anyways, but one thing I want to make a point here is that, and we discussed this on a recent audio as well, is that that which Paul sought to establish, it didn't work. Bless his heart, he did the best that he could in with what he knew and what was his background and what was his training. But the system that he sought to set up did not work. And we talked about this in a recent audio called The Scientific Method, where basically if you continue to do what you've always done, you'll continue to get what you've always got. If you continue to repeat an experiment over and over and over again with the same inputs, you are going to get the same result over and over and over again. That's part of what science is, all right, you can now determine, okay, this is the way that if we do this, we're going to get this. And so... So, see, when a lot of times I hear people preaching from Paul, they fail to grasp the conclusion of the matter. You see a case in point of something similar with the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes is a prime example of, here it is, Solomon writes, 12 12 chapters in the book of Ecclesiastes. And in verse 13 and verse 14, Solomon then goes through and he says, and here is the conclusion of the matter. In fact, let me just flip over there really quick. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and verse 14 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, again, Solomon putting this down to, look, every man, this is an individual thing. For you as an individual, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man, not the congregation of man, of the individual. For God shall bring every work into judgment, whether every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Nothing will be hidden. Nothing will be hid in the back channels that will not eventually be broadcast for all eternity, for all to see. Everyone will see, everyone will know everything for all eternity. Nothing will be hidden. Nothing. And you will be for all eternity. Who you are within is who you will be without for all eternity. That real you that's on the inside is who you're going to be for all eternity. So no work will be hidden. No anything will be hidden. That's why it's ridiculous for people to try to cover things up in this life. Because even, you know, when they try to knock people off or snuff them out or get rid of them or whatever they try to do to dispose of people and to try to dispose of inconvenient truths, in the end, all they're doing is adding to the list of all of the ills that they've done to the world and to society and their time in the earth, and all of it will be laid bare for all eternity. So the people that are engaged in things like trafficking, for example, and the buying and the selling of the souls of men and women and children around the world, and they think that they will, you think you're going to get a pass for that? You think that it's not all known and it's not all recorded, and every evil act that's done is not, that blood is not on your hands? Do you think that your internet history is not recorded? Not just by the NSA? You see what I'm saying? Everything is made known and is laid bare before the Father. Nothing is hidden. Now, here's where we're going to with this all as well. With Solomon, he went through 12 chapters in the book of Ecclesiastes to come to the conclusion of the matter. And Paul, in his time in seeking to establish and to set up the early church, and with all the different things, and so he started out, he had zeal, he had fervor, he had vigor, he approached it with what it was that he knew and all of that. But in chapter 20 and verse 28, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, and not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So Paul then, again, even there, commits the individual to the grace of God, not the group. And he realized that the system that he had sought to establish was destined to fail. And in Jude 4, and I know I'm going through these again, but because we did talk about these on another podcast, but I want to put this out there again because it's important that we understand this. Because we have to get past, at this stage, we have to get past the bondages of man-made traps and outdated archetypes, and to move on into what God is doing. Jude 4 said, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Alright. So, Paul said it was going to happen, and Jude, in the book of Jude, he said it happened. And so that is a case in point. Now, just even as Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes got to the conclusion of the matter, verse 13 and verse 14, he says, look, this is the conclusion of the matter. And there's so many people that read the writings of Paul and they miss the conclusion of the matter. This is the conclusion of the matter. Yes, and if you go through the book of Ecclesiastes, there's all kinds of bits and pieces in wisdom, and there's all kinds of things that you can glean from that. But Solomon was taking people through a journey for a reason. He was trying to show them that in all of what it was that man could pursue in and of himself in this world, that all of it was vanity, that there was that, and Solomon had the money and the power and the resource and the connection to do it all, and he did it all. Oh my gosh, Solomon did it all to a hilt. So Solomon went full bore in his time in the earth. And he said at the close of the matter, he said, look, here's the conclusion of the matter. I'm going to save you a multi-billion dollar set of experiences and heartbreaks and heartaches, and I'm going to give you the conclusion of the matter. If you can receive it, if you can see it, if you can receive it in these two verses, it is going to give you the summary of what is the important thing in your life and in your time in the earth. Here you go. And Paul, again, here's another case in point. Going through the ups and downs and the swashbuckling adventures that he had, traveling the known world of the day and preaching the gospel and doing all of those things. And even in the midst of all that he had set up, with his great charisma and his great personality, so much of it was still contingent on him as an individual and the gifts that were in operation in him. And he knew that as soon as those were out of the way, the system itself was vulnerable for corruption and for a takeover. And you know why? Partly because he had already come out of a system that had been infiltrated. And we inherently go and replicate what it is that we've already been known in the way that we've been trained. But Paul gives a conclusion of the matter. And for those that have eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to understand, they understand that the kingdom is not without, but the kingdom is within. So he commends people to the grace of God. The individual to the connection, to be made one in the Father. Here's the thing. We've all been given different assignments. We've all been given different roles and responsibilities in the body. But what I have found in my own experience, in my own time in the earth, in my own time tracking with the Lord, and, you know, I don't go through any kind of pedigree, you know, but if I ever did and if I ever went through that kind of foolishness, you know, I would have a track record to speak of. But in my own time, in my own experience, one thing that I've also seen too is that for those that walk in the Spirit and those that track with the Lord and those that do that which God has for them to do, you know and you understand the other ones who are His. You know and understand the role and the responsibility that each of us have been given in that time. And I recognize them. They meet me and I meet them. And we know who each other are. And we also know who each other are not. We also know the ones that are not His, the ones that are not called, the ones that are charlatans. And Satan has ministers that transform themselves into angels of righteousness. They look the part, they talk the part, they wear the robe, they got the collared shirt, they do all those things. But they are so far removed and split from the truth, they would never know it. They would never know that which is real. If it bit them on the bum, they would never know what was real. They wouldn't know what was true because they have, rather than being made consummated with truth, they have changed what they believe and created God in their own image and in their own likeness. A form of godliness that denies the power thereof. And even as Jesus said in Matthew 7, many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and that in your name? He'll say, I never knew you. And that knowing is, again, a consummation. I was never one with you. You were never one with me. You were over there, separate, apart from me. Part of the world and the world system. Lock, stock, and barrel, in step with that which the world was doing, and you were pushing your entire agenda. You used my name to further your own ambitions, your own pursuits, but you never knew me. But you know what? There's an incredible freedom, incredible peace when we step out of the trap, the illusion, the deception of the enemy and the world, and we are made one with the Father. There's something just beautiful that happens and takes place. And when you've done that, you transition from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. And no one can take that from you. Free will is respected. Your free will is respected by... That's something that's a God-given piece of our existence here in this life and in the earth. So God says choose. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. But we can choose to do whatever we want. We just can't choose the consequences. If you choose life, you receive life. If you choose the world and death, then you will receive the world and death. But, you know, when you've transitioned into life and when you've chosen life, yes, you're going to be tested in that. Yes, you are going to face trial and tribulation, and there's going to be all kinds of things that come up. But in the midst of that, you're going to have peace. And in the midst of the peace that you have that transcends all understanding, you're also going to find your joy and your purpose, your reason for existence, the reason that you came into the earth, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Because that's part of our time in the earth, is also to understand our purpose in the earth. Because we didn't just come here to have an experience. We came here because God had reason for us to be here. God had purpose for us to be here. You know, I know for myself that, you know, in coming into this reality, that, you know, I mean, it was part and parcel of a response to the purposes that God had. And here am I, send me. All right, Lord, I'll go. If you need somebody, I'll go. It's been a rough ride, though. But it's been incredible, but it's been a rough ride. And you know, there's a lot of things in this world that are grievous to the heart of a child of God. There's a lot of things in this life and in this paradigm that break our hearts. But we take those and we put them before the Father. And in the midst of that, we say, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. We pray, we ask God to lead and guide us and to direct our steps. But we also understand that the world is what it is. And a lot of things are going to go on and to persist in a certain way in the time that is here. And but God has all authority on heaven and on earth has been given unto Christ Jesus, and we walk with and are in step with Him and consummated with Him. So we move in His authority as ambassadors of Christ in the earth. We do that. We speak the oracles of God. We speak the truth of God. We remain a challenge to the sins and the world system and all that's here. And unapologetically, we make known the truth. We live it out so that people know there is also another way. And it's a testimony to that which is real amidst a world of lies and deception. So, for you, my brothers and my sisters, be encouraged. Know that that this time-bound reality is an illusion, and to step into I am, and to go through that gate, who is Christ Jesus, is to walk into being that eternal being that God intends for you to be in your time in the earth. And as you step into that, you transition out of the snares of the enemy and his ability to hold you, his ability to control your head and to control your body and to control your being. And as his system gets activated to try to bring you back, you walk through it all. Jesus walked through it all, and Jesus told us, look, in this world you're going to have trouble, but take heart, for I've overcome the world. We overcome the world by remaining in him, by staying in step with him every moment of every day. Each and every moment right now, because he is I am. And with that, oh, we love you guys. God bless you. Hey, send us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. You need to write us every now and then, all right? So, you know, we appreciate that. We don't ask much of anything of you guys out there, but we do request that that you just say hi every now and then. If you we appreciate it just because, you know, it's just encouraging for us. You don't have to do it, but it's a nice to, if you appreciate this broadcast, do say hi, and that's encouraging for us. And also, you know, keep us in prayer, you know, and we pray for you guys too. So, but we appreciate those prayers that you guys pray for us. Yeah. And God bless you guys. We love you. Keep on keeping on. It's all good in Christ Jesus. All right. Hey, we love you. We'll talk to you soon. God bless you. Bye.